Greetings and welcome back to the unusual Bible study, because I was trying to do a Bible study last week and I ended up doing an economics overview, but you got to see the shaking that's happening right now. Why does the prophet Haggai say the silver is mine, the gold is mine? Well, I'm saying that the 10 toes of the beast are starting to define themselves. The world is breaking up into its different economic regions. The United States, sorry to say, once the dominant superpower of the world, particularly in the era of Donald Trump, economically and militarily. I mean, you have to be like brain dead not to say that Trump's era for us, with low inflation, high employment, low taxes, gas and energy, we were the largest export of gas and energy in the world. Our border traffic was being cut down. Crime was rolling back. Everything's gone to hell in a handbasket, like they say. And it's because lawlessness is operating in our nation. And you have to ask, well, why did God allow that to happen? Well, because God sees that the people are lawless. Evidently, the Lord wants America to repent. And like the prodigal son, there's a certain amount of feasting and celebrating and decadence that starts to dry up during a famine, during a financial famine. What happens is it starts to cause the prodigal to come to himself, the Bible says. He came to himself and said, oh my gosh, it was so much better before than it is now. Do you know the number one thing that causes people to be open to the gospel is pain, challenge, uncertainty? It's when everything's flowing along and going along and you're singing a song that you don't really think about eternity. You don't think about God. You don't think about your needs. But when you get sick, when you go to the hospital, when you have a crisis, suddenly people develop this. I'm just like you. I have a mother I was evangelizing my family. She would always call me when there was a big need in the family. Now, I was like, it's really funny because they thought I was a fanatic, but I was the one they called when someone needed to pray for somebody. I always thought it was beautiful. If they called me and Annabelle, they knew we were fanatics. We would pray. And every now and then, they knew wild stuff would happen when we prayed. I'm telling you, one of the ways that God judges a nation is he gives bad leaders. Bad leaders in the Old Testament is a form of judgment. But what's the purpose of judgment? It's discipline. Two kinds of judgment. Judgment for discipline, judgment for destruction. America is not in the destruction zone. America is in the divine discipline zone. You're putting your child in time out so that they'll behave themselves. You incarcerate them if they're too wicked. You put them in a prison, jail, detention. But if you're trying to discipline them to behave differently, then you apply pressure. That's where America's at. So what's happening? The USA is experiencing inflation, dollar down. It's just one form, but it's a significant one, because this is the language of idolatry, money. And this is our idols are being shaken right here. God's putting our idols down. But then Europe is getting shaken also. God's shaking the whole world. The whole agenda of Davos and the World Economic Forum and their desire to become the global epicenter of a global reset with Klaus Schwab and all of the global elites. You know what a globalist is? A globalist is someone who doesn't have faith, doesn't have allegiance to one nation. They are elites that want to rule nations. They want to be ruling over others. They don't see the world in terms of nations. They see the world in terms of class, and they're the superior that will take care of you. Bill Gates thinks of himself as the superior that has to take care of the ignorant masses. And then we got Russia and China over here, who are now forming their own alliance against the EU after Russia and the EU went to war over Ukraine, and the United States is backing the EU against Russia and China. So these interests are not necessarily all aligned. Europe would happily crush the American economy and force us to get sucked into their orbit. China would gladly take over the world. Oh, this is like gangs. Why? Because you're dealing with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. It's kind of weird how the devil's hierarchy works, but the Crips and the Bloods, they don't get along at all, but they're both under the same devil. ultimately the same hierarchy, but yet it's broken up into like these weird little fiefdoms. So these areas are eventually breaking up into, I believe, the toes of the beast. The systems will continue to break up. But where does that leave the church? The question is, what is God doing with you? Well, the church has a role during all this. What is the Lord doing with the church? Well, for one thing, he's got his hands on the world. And even though it's being shaken with divine hands behind it. God is controlling the shaking of the nations. And he has a goal that he's got in the middle of it. That goal is revealed by the prophet Haggai, who says, basically, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So you go to the prophet Haggai, which I was joking in the studio. I found it on page 1358 after 10 minutes. But it talks in two chapters about God shaking the heavens and the earth. And there's an ultimate reason why. Once more, chapter 2, I will in a little while, in this case, 500 years before Christ, you can figure out the 2,500 years later. Once more, in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I'm going to shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Who's the desire of all nations? The Messiah. Nations are going to come to Jesus. This is a very powerful promise. The pain, the uncertainty, and the shaking is going to create a desire for a solution, and God's people are the solution. The body of Christ is called to be the temple of the living God. This is going to be quite a process, folks, because you and I are supposed to be the manifestation of the thing that they desire. And so it says here, I will fill this temple. Point to your head. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You're worried about surviving the coming storm. God says, forget about surviving. I'm going to fill you in my supernatural glory. You're going to be, they're going to come to you in the hours ahead. When the shaking happens, they're going to come to the temple filled with my glory. And then the Lord says, why? Because they're looking for Jesus. And where is he? Christ in you. In you is the hope of glory. Christ on the inside of you is where the glory is. There's a revelation in here. The desire of all nations is what they're seeking. I will fill this temple with glory. Then the Lord says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. It's as though he's saying, economics evidently is a part of this issue. Economic shaking. And God says, yeah, the money's mine. Oh, you think that China has the economy and Russia has an economy? And that, but it's interesting how all of these economies are now backing themselves up with gold. I think it could be that gold becomes a reset for valuating the currencies. It'd be interesting to see. You watch how gold bullion is going, the actual substance of gold is going to become a factor in establishing the value of currencies. I will shake all nations. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. And the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace. So let me start by saying three things you want to connect to. Please hear me. You want to connect to Jesus in a strong way. Oh, I know you're probably listening to me and think you are connected, so that's good. I'll just assume you are. If you are connected, then you're practicing Romans 12. It says, that you're supposed to give your body as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God. Your physical body, your physical body should be under the control of the Spirit. Should be, every appetite should be subordinated to the will of God. And then if you can do that, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you know what the will of God is. Those two steps, your body as a living sacrifice and your mind submitted to renewing by the Spirit of God. That's the prerequisites to being transformed. That's connecting to God. Then you need to connect with other believers. I'm telling you that because the peace of God is connected to the temple of God, and the temple of God is filled with the glory of God. But God hasn't built you to be a temple all by yourself. You're just a stone. You're a living stone. You're one stone with a glory deposit. But the Bible says that God puts the stones together to form a living temple. You need to have a couple of other relationships that are filled with the glory of God so that together you form a temple or a place where the presence of God can dwell. I can't explain to you how emphatic I am about how God has a boat that will float during the days of shaking economically, because he's using the shaking as a vehicle to discipline nations in order to reveal his glory. And it's going to be the handful of relationships you've got in your life that form the context for the glory of God to be exhibited. The latter temple shall be greater than the former. Keep your finger over there in Haggai and go over into Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. And when you go to chapter 2 of Ephesians, you're going to see something about the temple God's building. It says, having been built in verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20, having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows. Fitted together. You need to find the relationships God put in your life that are fitting around you to grow into a holy temple in whom you also are being built together. You're being built together. The temple means there's more than one stone. You better connect to Jesus, and you better start finding out who the other stones are, because this is how your economic boat's going to float, by being in alignment with the relationships God ordained for you, wherein he is sending his glory. And when you find those relationships, you're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You're being built. Do you guys see that? I'm talking about supernatural provision in the time of shaking, as the fragmentation of nations, as the global systems are shaking up, and the empire system is trying to take over the sovereignty of sheep nations, and sheep and goat nations are in battle, and the end time spirit is being poured out, and God says, I'm going to shake, and the silver and gold somehow, the economic scenario is going to be under my mysterious control, and it's going to feed into my body, my temple, my people, my supernatural, but not just any gathering of people with the name Jesus and bump on a bumper sticker, but those that are assembled together, connected to God and connected to each other. You better be connected to each other. In whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So let me show you what this looks like. As God is shaking the earth, what's he doing? He's shaking the earth in order to reveal. I'll just do this here. I'm going to put this here. I'm going to believe this is the temple. This is the temple of God's people. So here is the temple. And really, what's this designed to reveal? It's designed to reveal Jesus. That God is going to cause this temple to be filled with his glory. And he's going to cause the shaking to cause all eyes to see. Why? Because it's going to be the end time harvest. And God's going to have his temple. So you want to be connected. Now catch this. You want to connect. You want to connect to God, putting him first. And how do you know you're putting him first? Because it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you bring your body into submission and then your mind into submission. Bring your body into submission and then your mind in submission to the Spirit of God. Romans 1 and 2. And then you're going to connect to the body of Christ, because the body is the temple, and the temple is where the glory of God is going to be revealed. That glory is revealed in that temple. And there's a third thing I said. I want to focus in on that as well. I will shake the heavens and the earth. What is God doing? He's shaking the heavens. Why does it say heaven and earth? Because Satan's spiritual principalities and powers dwell in heavenly places. So most people miss this. But while the shaking is going on here on the earth, the shaking is just one place. There is a realm above the earth that's getting shaken. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to put some pitchforks up here, put some clouds, pitchfork, cloud, pitchfork, pitchfork. So what you see here is Satan is also getting shaken. God is going to shake not only the earth, but he's also shaking the heavens. Why is he shaking up the heavens? Because Christ is returning. Christ is coming back. Let me get my purple pen. Jesus, remember, the Lord's returning. The Bible says that when these things begin to happen, look up, you that are on the earth. Look up. Look up to what? Look up to Jesus, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Redemption, or the buying back, is coming to a theater near you. So what's happening here? Satan is being pushed down, and as he's being pushed down, the earth is in convulsions. That's what you got to realize. Paul could say, I was wondering, how did Paul know that in the last days, evil was going to increase, and men are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived? See, anytime you have a prophecy or a prophet that is prophesying a pure reversal and everything's going to go back into divine order and glory and it's going to be better than ever before, it doesn't fit the Bible, because the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And in the last times, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. So the Bible doesn't present a rosy picture of the last days like it's increasing utopia. It's actually, to be honest, it's going to be gross darkness covers the earth, but on you, the light shall come. So here you got the earth getting increasingly dark. Well, of course it's increasingly dark, because you got this stuff coming down. This is coming down, but look what's there. Oh, wait a second. But upon you, the light shines. It's like the spotlight. The whole stage is set. And there you come. Got my coat and got my hat. And there you are on display. The church is on display. But the world's looking for Jesus. They're looking for darkness covers the earth, gross darkness of people. But upon you, my light shall come. For the glory of God will be seen upon you. Isaiah says glory again. What is glory? It's stronger than anointing. See, the anointing is the power of God to fix what's wrong or to enable something to be done. But the glory is there for what is right. The anointing fixes what's wrong. The glory reveals what's right. So the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to make the crooked places straight, the rough places smooth, to bring the blind will see, the deaf shall hear, the dumb shall speak, the lame shall walk. What? The anointing's there to fix the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the crooked, and the low or the high. It's there to adjust stuff so that the glory of the Lord can be revealed. The anointing is for what's wrong. The glory is for what's right. Evidently, the anointing is going to be doing quite a work during the shaking. I think we're going to get shaken until we're walking in a realm where the glory of God can be revealed. You guys following this? Now, what I want to say is that connecting to God, connecting to one another, the body, which is the temple, the glory, and this is that word ecclesia. I always tell people, it sounds like a vampire word if it's pronounced right. It's not ecclesia. I've often called it ecclesia. I'm glad to see you, ecclesia, but it's actually ecclesia. Like a vampire, ecclesia. I found that I did the Google thing. I said, how do you pronounce it? Ecclesia. So it's ecclesia. The ecclesia is the supernatural body of Christ that is called out from among the nations in order to exercise the power of governing citizenship at the gates of influence. You're called to influence what happens in the world. I will build my church, my ecclesia, in the gates of hell. Formidable, powerful principalities and councils at the top of the mind molders of culture. I will build my ecclesia, and when I built them together, my glory inhabits them. I will break the gates of iron, the gates of brass, and the gates of hell will not be able to resist my movement. Ooh, people, I hope you got that. I'm going to shake heaven. I'm going to shake hell. I'm going to shake the earth. And I'm going to overthrow all the thrones of those kingdoms, those invisible thrones, chapter 2, 22 of Haggai. 2:22. I'm going to take the thrones, political thrones, economic thrones, business thrones, Hollywood thrones. I don't care. If you're sitting there and you're ruling and you're mitigating and militating against my movement, bam, you're coming down. Wow. I'm talking about a last days move that is not, isn't a loser move. It's a conflict of darkness and light. And in the conflict of darkness and light, the gates of hell cannot resist. When it comes up against the formidable power of the glorious church, it breaks. We are the anvil that breaks every hammer. We are the anvil that breaks every hammer that hits us. You guys following me? I just want to stop right now and say, I take authority over anxiety regarding the future. As you listen to the news, food shortages, disruptions, economic calamity, I want you to know that God's plan for you is that he makes you an example of his provision, that he makes you an example of his faithfulness. My job as a teacher is to prepare you so that you're plugged in and connected to God, connected to the relationships that are going to help your boat float, and connected to the giving that God requires in order for the flow of life and flow of provision to connect to you. It's kind of an interesting world we're in right now. And the silver is mine and the gold is mine. God says, don't worry about the economy. I've got control of the economy, and I'm going to cause you to flourish. Even in a time of testing, you're going to see God in a unique way. I'm going to stop here and pick up this teaching because I want to give you the Hebrew and the Greek insights that are in the scripture regarding the fact that the revelation knowledge that God wants to give you in the Bible is described as meat. And in the Old Testament, it's called teref. It literally means prey that is hunted and freshly torn. God wants to give you a fresh revelation of his provision and his purpose in this end time shaking. And I believe it's going to be coming, this broadcast. So come back with me and join me again on our next broadcast. And we're going to go dig into the supernatural provision of God and how he's raising up an end time church that'll be glorious in both its demonstration and its operation. Supernatural living and supernatural giving. See you again.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.
Hello, I have something interesting I want to share with you that I think will make a big difference in your life. I've been listening to my brother Andrew Womack recently in some meetings we were doing, and he said something which is so profound. He said, you don't get what you deserve. You get what Jesus deserves. It's such a powerful concept. You don't get what you deserve. You know, you and I deserve judgment. What we get is grace and forgiveness because Jesus paid the price. So when we believe, when we ask God for help, we don't get what we deserve. It continues. We get what Christ deserves because God has put us in Christ, and everything that he has coming to him comes to his body. And so God has every provision that is necessary. But then we have to find out how the provision is supplied. And that's the key I want to go into right now. The Apostle Paul in Philippians was in a terrible contest, a battle with government. And he was on the front lines defending and confirming the faith. And in a sense, people like him were keeping the government at bay from the movement so that they became the lightning rods that were battling out the issues of their message. But Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, I want you to know that this is going to turn out for my deliverance. I already see it, but it's going to happen through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The two things that he knew were going to bring him through was their prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that would come to him and come on the situation. And I realized that everything that you need is in Christ, and you deserve it because he deserves it. And everything that I need is there, but I actually have to ask for prayer. This is the humbling part. The vehicle that God will administer to me is through you. My job is to teach, speak, go, engage. And your job is to pray and to do your part so that the Spirit of God can supply what is needed on our end. And it creates this kind of beautiful sense of dependence on each other. And so do pray. And we need to pray for boldness. That's the number one thing which we need most all the time these days. Pray for clarity. There's so many ways we can get hooked into, ensnared into unnecessary battles. Pray for clarity. Pray for boldness. And pray for the provision needed, because now we're looking at the buildings and the gathering places where we're going to be coming together for training, equipping, for the consulting, the conferencing, for the broadcasting. I want you to be able to be here. We have a great studio, but we don't have room for our studio audience. We're going to go there next. And I need your help to do that. Your prayer is going to help provide the supply in the Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to partner with me. Partner with this grace and this anointing, this clarity, this truth, this boldness, because there really is an anointing on this. And when you partner with the anointing, that same Spirit you discern in someone else, you get access to yourself. That's the mystery of partnership. It kind of connects you to the source that you're partnering with. And the anointing that is on this ministry is a grace, and it is a favor. And I've seen it my whole life, and I'm seeing it go to the next level now. I want that for you. The power of utterance, the power of clarity, the power to articulate the purpose of God through you to other people, to give the gospel. I want you to partner with this grace. Would you go to lancewallnow.com/partner, lancewallnow.com/partner. And if you partner with Annabelle and with me and with our team in prayer, and you'll partner with us as monthly supporters of this grace, then I believe God's going to do phenomenal things through you and through me laboring together. Thank you.